Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
One of my favorite things to do when we're down in Tennessee in the mountains on vacation, I love to watch thunderstorms roll in the mountains. It's really nice. It's really beautiful. It's especially cool to watch from the crest of a mountain. We'll often get a house up on a mountainside, and it's really fun to kind of watch storms roll in. First of all, the sky will darken, and then as the sky darkens, the heat of the day, the temperature drops. Like, it'll drop 20 degrees in about 2 or 3 minutes, and then you'll start to feel a breeze, a gentle breeze, and then that breeze will build up, and it'll get pretty strong, and the trees will bend, and some branches sometimes break as the winds get more powerful, and then a clap of thunder will not just do like it does around here, where you see a flash of lightning, and then you count to 10, and you're like, okay, it was 10 miles away. That's what I do all the time. But the thunder rolls through the mountains. It's like it never ends. Clap of thunder, it just goes on and on and on across the mountainscape. And then you see the wall of rain. You can see it coming towards you because you've got that point of view. You've got that perspective. And before it hits you, you can smell it. Do you know what I'm talking about? The smell of rain? The smell of rain hits your nose, and then the rain drops on your face. The thunders echo. The rain pours down. The wind blows. And then it all passes by, and in the stillness, you see the mist rising up in the valleys between the mountains. It's an awesome sight, and it's an incredible illustration of the power of the authority of God. We saw an incredible illustration of the power of Mother Nature and the authority of God in these tornadoes over the past couple of weeks. And they've actually been telling us that this is just the beginning. It may be one of the most active tornado seasons we'll see in a long time because of El Nino, the El Nino effect. But the weather is always a great illustration of the power and the authority of God. And as we are coming up very quickly on Easter Sunday, we've been studying what it means to come to grips with the authority of Jesus. What does it mean to come to grips with the authority of Jesus in our personal lives? And I hope by this time, many of you have taken to heart my request for you to take some time to reflect, to stop and reflect on what is the driving authority in your life. What is the driving authority in your life? What is it that you will say yes to above all else? If you get choices, what are you going to say yes to above all else? When we identify that driving authority in our lives, we begin to recognize that which we truly worship. When we begin to reflect on that which we always say yes to, that's what we truly worship. That's what we put our trust in. And for many people in this world today, many people will say, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and work that extra shift because I actually trust more in money than I trust in anything else, right? And some people will say, yes, I'll skip everything else and I'll do whatever because I trust X, Y, or Z more than I trust come to church on Sunday morning. There's a lot of different choices you have on a sunny day in the springtime besides coming to church. And when we say yes to something else, we're saying, yes, that other thing has more authority in my life than the authority of Jesus does. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus offers up what I consider a master class in his authority, what his authority looks like. And we've been learning for the past couple of weeks that for anyone who decides to actually follow Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus. You know that song. For anyone who's decided to follow Jesus, we must come to grips with His authority in our lives. His authority is behind the light that sparked creation. His authority is driving the sun. It drives the motion of the universe. That's how big the authority of Jesus Christ is. His authority is so big, last week we talked about how it supersedes what we consider our family relationships. In the rest of Luke chapter 8, we're given a view into Jesus' authority over the natural world, the spiritual world, and the physical world, including death itself. If you kind of walk through the rest of Luke chapter 8 and some of chapter 9, in each story that we're going to look at, as we continue to study the authority of Jesus, we're going to see a crisis that's presented. And in each episode, a question is asked. And then in each encounter, a miracle is demonstrated. And in each pass of each of these stories, we see humanity drawn deeper into belief in Jesus. When we come face to face, when we come to grips with the authority of Jesus, we are drawn deeper into a relationship with Him. And in each situation, we're going to be given a clearer picture that the authority of Jesus is complete in all phases. It lacks nothing. The authority of Jesus is compelling. When witnessed, it draws men and women and children to Him. It's irresistible, almost. The authority of Jesus is compassionate, too. It's a compassionate authority. In each circumstance, it's authoritative, but with a loving hand. With a loving, caring, soft touch. And in this morning's portion of Luke chapter 8, the crisis is a storm out on the lake. It's a storm out on the lake. We're at Buck Creek State Park right now. The disciples are on the lake. They're the only ones to witness this particular situation, this particular crisis, this particular miracle out on the lake. They have VIP access. You know, it's really nice when you're treated like a VIP and you get great seats at a concert or a game or something like that. These fellas have VIP access here. And in Luke chapter 8, verse 22, that's where we're going to pick up this story this morning. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Hey, let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and they set out and they sailed, and Jesus fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're all going to drown. We're going to die." Oh no. Jesus got up. He rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. And the question from Jesus to his disciples was, "Where is your faith? Where is your faith?" In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." This must have been quite a storm out on the Sea of Galilee. And let's not forget that at least four out of the 12 disciples were experts on the water. They grew up on the water. They grew up on the lake. They were professional fishermen. They understood how unpredictable the weather could be and how wild the water could get when the wind whipped up. They had likely faced similar situations like this in their lives. They had probably been working out on the lake. A storm comes up and they had been through several scenarios like this. And they knew how dangerous of a situation this could possibly be. So when you think about this, we've got professional fishermen manning this boat. And when a professional fisherman tells you that a storm is dangerous and that they're scared, you believe what they say. They knew what they were talking about. And in this particular situation, we see these professional fishermen on this boat in the lake in the storm in a panic. They are panicked. "We're all going to drown. We're going to die." They're just in a panic in this situation. And once they've tried everything they know to secure the boat, I'm sure there's all sorts of options that you do as a fisherman on a boat like that. Once they've gone through their checklist and tried everything they can try, they realize that their only hope is the land-loving carpenter in the back who's asleep. The gall of that dude. They're just beginning their relationship with Jesus. They're rookie followers of Jesus. They had not been at this very long. They didn't fully know or appreciate who Jesus was. They're just at the beginning of their journey to understand the authority of Jesus, and they basically have nothing else to lose at this point. So what do? They choose the option. In case of emergency, break glass. Break glass. And I'd like us to see this morning that even in the midst of this incredibly dangerous storm that they find themselves in, even though in slumber, Jesus is with them. Jesus was with the disciples in the midst of their storm, in the midst of their crisis. He had not abandoned them. They were not alone. They were not without hope. And friends, I would like to say to you that even if it feels like you're going through a storm in your life this morning, and it feels like Jesus is asleep somewhere in the back of the boat, remember, He's not sleeping. He's with you.
Amen.
Jesus is with you. And the disciples are learning this. They're rookies. He had not abandoned them. They were not alone. They were not without hope. They needed only to wake or rouse the Master through calm, confident prayer. Not panic. I mean, they had the dude behind the light that created the universe in the back of the boat. And they're in a panic. But when we know and we come to grips with the authority of Jesus, there's no reason to panic. We can be calm because the Master is slumbering nearby. And we can rouse Him through intercession in confidence, not in panic. And I think in this situation, the rebuke from Jesus is baked into the question, where is your faith? There's a rebuke. Not only did He rebuke the waves and the seas, but I think He turns around after He rebukes the waves and the seas, and He's rebuking His disciples in the boat. Where is your faith? The rebuke from Jesus, though, is, I don't think, based in their lack of faith. They chose to come to Him after all. Right? They did choose to break the glass finally. In case of emergency, break glass. But I think instead the question that Jesus is asking, when He says, where is your faith, is focused on the panicked tone of their prayer. The panicked tone of their reaction to the situation that they find themselves in. When Jesus is with us, there is no need to panic, friends. When Jesus is with us, there's no need to panic. Even if it seems like He's asleep, there's no need to panic. In pain or suffering or crisis, even in a tornado, even in the face of death, there's no need to panic if we have come to grips with the authority of Jesus. For Jesus, the Master of all creation, is with us, and He hears our prayers, and He will ultimately bring calm to the situation. He will bring calm to the situation. And I believe the question for us is, will we lose sight of our faith and the One whom we serve in the midst of a crisis and panic instead? How often do we forget about the authority of Jesus when the storms of life blow up in our lives and we suddenly, our blood pressure goes up and we begin to panic? Will we lose sight of our faith and to whom we serve and panic, or will we intercede, rousing the Master with confidence, with poise, that He can and shall deliver? He will deliver. We've seen Him deliver even this week through prayer, through intercession. Lord, help us to have the confidence in Your power and Your authority, even when our circumstances are dire, even deathbed dire. Help us to have the confidence in Your authority even in the worst of situations. Help us to remember that You are the rescuer. You are the deliverer. That our pain and our storms are temporary. And that You will bring peace to the raging storm around us and deliver us into calm waters. Amen? Now the miracle occurs when Jesus wakes up and calms the storm. And here in Luke 8 we're told that He got up and He rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. In other tellings of this particular miracle, in other Gospels, we're told that Jesus tells the waves and the wind, be still. He didn't yell it out. He didn't, like Moses, raise up a staff and say, be still. I think Jesus just got up. He's like, what's wrong with you dudes? And he looked out at the waves and the water and he said, be still. Like a stern parent, he rebuked the waters and the winds. Be still. Jesus calms the storms of life, but he also calls us to be still. He calls us to be still. Jesus wants to bring calm to the storm inside of our hearts and inside of our souls. Many of us struggle with anxiety and fear. Many of us lay up at night and worry. Many of us have PTSD. We've dealt with traumas in the past. The storm stirred by anxiety or envy or greed or jealousy or ambition stirs within us. Why did they get the promotion? I deserved it. A storm rages within us. We want to move forward. We want to take action now. Jesus says, be still. We want to plan. We want to build. We want to do. Now, Jesus says, be still. We want to earn as much as we can. We want to save as much as we can. We want to spend as much as we can. Jesus says, be still. Be still for just a second. We want to work. We want to be promoted. I want to advance in my career right now. I'm entitled to it. Jesus says, be still. We want to woo. We want to date. We want to find the perfect mate. Oh Lord, when will I find that perfect one? Jesus says, be still. It's hard to be still. Can I get an amen for that this morning? It's hard to be still. Sometimes we avoid being still at all costs because we're scared about what will happen. We're scared of what we'll hear or realize in the stillness. Before we can go and do anything, we must learn to ground our lives in the authority of Jesus Christ. We need to take a moment. We need to take a hot second. And in some situations, we need to take many moments to do this. Only when we take the time, church, to be still, are we able to confront the things that will hinder us from moving forward with confidence and power so that we're proceeding not according to our plan, but to God's will. In our lives, we need to be still. Being still is hard. Being still, though, allows us to orient our hearts and our souls, or reorient our soul to the cross. We need to recalibrate regularly. We need to reorient our heart and our soul and our mind and our will to the cross of Jesus Christ frequently. Because friends, the winds and the waves of this life, they blow our compass off course. And so we need to kind of get fixed back on the cross on a regular basis. If you feel like your life is spinning out of control, you don't have control of the situation, it's creating anxiety and maybe panic. First step, be still, friend. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our salvation. Amen. Reorient your heart to the cross. Be still. Being still allows us to realign our priorities to God's priorities. When we're really following Jesus and we really come to grips with the authority of Jesus in our lives, it's going to have an impact on our priorities. It's going to have an impact on how we spend our time. It's going to have an impact on how we spend our money. It's going to be having an impact on how we invest our talents. It is going to have a dramatic impact in our lives. And it will be evident to everybody else around you as to whether or not you're fully invested in being a follower of Jesus, because we allow His priorities to determine our priorities. But it doesn't happen until we allow ourselves to be still. Being still also allows us to resubmit our lives to the authority of Jesus and the kingdom of heaven. Before we go, before we do anything, be still. So Jesus is calling his followers to do and to be. The storms of life are going to continue to roll in, church. We may be on the mountaintop of something in our experience and we may see a storm coming. Boy, you could see that storm coming Thursday night. Wow, that was powerful. So what can we learn from this episode this morning in the face of storms? Just a couple quick things and I'll let you go. Our confidence in this world isn't based or shouldn't be based on our own skills or experience. So often we like to puff ourselves up and think, well, I've got all this experience and I've got all of these skills that I've acquired over life. And so if I just use my skills and experience and brace myself here, I will withstand anything. And then we wind up getting toppled over. Right? True confidence, real confidence, real poise, comes from when we ground our lives in the authority of Jesus on a regular basis. If you're going to follow Jesus, this is something you need to do on a regular basis. You need to ground yourself in the authority of Jesus. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. All too often we try to face the storms of life. We try to face the waves, the shifting sand under our own power and our own authority and our own experience. But all too often we find that our own resources come up short and we find ourselves in a spin and we're just out of control and we're getting dizzy and we don't know which way's up in our lives. Anybody been there before? Come on. Followers of Jesus, though, people who are following Jesus, anchored in his authority, live life with confidence and with a power and a poise that is impossible to find anywhere else. You can't find this anywhere else. We don't lash out at others when things go wrong. We see that often, right? Do a little bit of inventory in your life. Things go wrong. How often do you get crabby? Cranky? Lash out at other people? Followers of Jesus have confidence and power and poise. We don't lash out at others. We don't curse a blue streak. Make up new profane words as we're doing it. We're not known for that. Followers of Jesus who are anchored in his authority don't get angry. They don't get panicky. Instead, followers of Jesus confidently go to the Master in whose authority our lives are grounded and we trust in him no matter what happens. We don't give up, even in the face of death, because Jesus is even bigger than death, folks. The tomb is empty. We trust him no matter what. And in this particular situation, the disciples panicked because they're not yet fully bought into the authority of Jesus. They're rookies on this journey. I think sometimes we just think the disciples jumped on board and they were holy rollers and perfect right out of the gate. Nope, they were nuts. They were broken. They were screwed up. They were messed up. Yes. And in this situation, I really do believe they panicked because they were not really in full realization of the authority of Jesus yet. But when they witnessed the authority of Jesus in action over this storm, we see them at the end of this passage take one more step in their faith in his authority and who he really is. They are in awe and wonder of what they have just witnessed. So when we ground ourselves in the authority of Jesus, folks, we take a step deeper into our relationship with him. The other lesson, I'll wrap it up here. The other lesson we can harvest from this story is that in order to ground ourselves in the authority of Christ, we must make an effort to be still every day. Every day. Just as often as you need to eat. Anybody ready for lunch? Poor church board. It's hard to learn to be still. It is hard to learn to be still, but it is the only way to ground ourselves in the authority of Jesus every single day. And as followers of Jesus, we need to learn to quiet our hearts and our minds on a regular basis and our soul so that we can sync it up with the authority of Jesus. I was at the hospital this week. Pastor Vicki had her surgery on Tuesday. Monday, I had the privilege of having a colonoscopy. Talk about a pain in the tuchus. Yeah. But I was in there and I was getting ready to have my procedure done, and there was a gentleman next to me, and he had done all the prep. He had gone through the whole torture process that they make you go through for that. But they couldn't do the procedure on him because his heart was in AFib. Anybody had their heart in AFib before? I think several of us have been there. Afibrillation is when our heart is out of sync. It feels awful. I've never experienced it before, but I know Vicki's dad had experienced it. I know several of you have experienced it. It is not comfortable. When it happens, you need to go to the doctor so that they can get things back into sync. They need to get your heart back in sync. And in the same way, learning to quiet our hearts and our minds and our souls, learning to be still is a key way to keep our spiritual heart in sync with the authority of Jesus Christ. Now, I personally find the best time for me to do this is in the morning. I am not my best. If I ever try to quiet myself in the evening, you know what happens? I fall asleep. So I try to do this in morning. I match it up with my favorite time in the morning. That's my morning coffee. You know, I just give my coffee. I just love it so. Pastor Joe, you're putting your faith in something that you shouldn't. But I use that morning time. I start my daily routine before I do anything else. I get into the Word a little bit, and I really try to still myself and still my heart and center myself through diving into the Word a little bit and really praying through the pattern of the Lord's Prayer in my life. And the days I don't do it, I notice a difference. But that helps still me. That helps center me into the authority of Jesus. When I say, your kingdom come and your will be done in my life here on earth as it's being done in heaven, I am submitting myself to the authority of Jesus Christ. No matter what may come today, expected or unexpected, I'm going to submit myself to your authority. And that helps me. I don't know what would work for you, but I really pray that you find a way, that you find a message, find a method to still your heart. Maybe it's taking a walk. I just don't know. Maybe it's during exercise. I prayed all the way down here this morning from Marysville. This is part of centering myself in the authority of Jesus. What do you do to ground yourself in the authority of Jesus on a daily basis? Because as followers of Jesus, that's what's expected of us. Some days I take 15 minutes. Some days it'll take 30. Some days I'll get a great message out of it. Guess where this came from? One of those days. One of those days. As followers of Jesus, we have to make intentional efforts to quiet our hearts and to allow Him to still us. You have to give Him permission to still you. Right? Jesus says, be stilled. It's a command that we have to respond to. You know, you little kids that are all cranky and wound up on sugar and stuff like that, you tell them to be still, and they don't listen. They just keep going. And guess what? We're exactly the same way some of the time. Jesus says, be still, and we're like, later, Jesus. I'll be still later. I got stuff to do. And He rebukes us, and He says, be still. Some days He has to get stern with me and say, be still. Church, more storms are coming. I don't know what they look like. I can't predict them, but more will come in our lives. Will we face them in panic, or will we face them with a power and a poise that is grounded in us personally coming to grips with the authority of Jesus? Because it's only when we are still and obedient to His command and do this on a regular basis, ground ourselves in His authority, then and only then can you go deeper with Him than you've ever gone before in your life.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.